Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All have a moment of silence for Simon and Garfunkel because they're no longer together. Okay, that's it. Hi, welcome to the LA Talk Radio's very own Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina. Of course, it is Thursday, and we are here to be talking to a wonderful, wonderful writer tonight. But right now, let's introduce my best friend in the whole world, Bobby Jean Bell. With that, let's take a hit for it.
Hey there, Jim, Christina. Here's to you. Can you believe that this is show number 299 tonight?
No, I cannot. I cannot.
We're like is it 6 years coming up?
6 years. 6 years in May. May 15th.
Yeah, 6 years in May and show 300 next week. We have read some wonderful books and talked to fabulous people
and,
over all this time.
And to be quite honest, I mean, God bless Ronan for hanging with us for 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just hung in there with us through thick, thin, good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
And we've had some.
And the bookie.
The bookie. We couldn't do this show anymore without the bookie.
No, all you and I need to do is read and show up. She's the one that keeps it all going.
She hands me this piece of paper, and it's like, she this is what she hands me for like next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she goes, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. As we couldn't do it. I know, because I did it for just a little while in the beginning.
I know. We can't do the show and book it at the same time. It's too hard.
Yeah.
So we enlisted the bookie, and by gosh, she's done a great job. She has done a wonderful job.
We are talking about Jim's wife, Jerry Christina, who is also his editor.
Yes, she is actually one of them.
Yeah, one of them. And she just keeps it all going. So
she does. You know, she doesn't complain. God bless her. She just keeps marching, even though she wants to kill me every now and then, because she'll say, well, what do you think about this guy? I say, no. Why? We don't do self-help books. We don't do political books. We don't do religious books. And we try not to get into pornography, although sometimes it could be fun.
Well, some of the romances we've read.
She right now she's working through some self-help authors that we get requests all the time from self-help authors and publicists, and we just don't do those kind
of
stuff.
We have so many other opportunities.
There's virtually nothing to talk about other than self-help, and I don't want to talk about that.
No, reading a good book is the best help there is.
That's absolutely. Well, you know what? Let's get into our guest because she's a returning guest. She's an award-winning writer. She lives in a little tiny town in Arizona. I don't know how little tiny it is, but it's not real big. She was a guest last October 22nd on the Writer's Block. She thrilled everybody then. I'm sure she's going to have a great time, and she's going to thrill us again tonight with a new book. As a matter of fact, we gave her a hard time about the title of one of her books last time she was on, and that book was I Adopted My Mother from a Bus Station. Well, she made us read it, and I'm really glad she did because it is a wonderful story, and I can't wait to talk to her about it. Please welcome back to the Writer's Block, Miss Savannah Hendricks.
Thank you.
Hi, Savannah. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're rocking and rolling, as you can tell tonight. We're chomping to talk about this book because it is so good.
Thank you. I'm glad because I was afraid you were going to say you hated it.
Oh, no.
Although I will say, and I'm not being critical, but I will say I found some typos.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
I did. And I found some syntax errors, but I'm not going to tell you where they are. Because my books have them too. So, I mean, you know, there's not a book you get, even from Simon & Schuster, that doesn't have errors in it.
Oh, yeah. So,
I'm not going to go there, but my gosh, this story was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
The title is so apropos to the story. Poor Sandy has gone through hell in her lifetime. And it seems like the only time she really, really had a good time was when she adopted her adopted mother from the bus station when she was 11 years old. Yeah, and what a great story. I mean, why don't you tell our readers a little bit about it? Because I'm chomping to get into it.
So, it actually started out as a middle grade manuscript. And at some point in time, I decided to turn it into an adult manuscript because I really wanted to hear the end, I guess you could say, of the story. So, it's about a girl, Sandy, and she has been living with her grandparents, and she just really wanted to know what it was like to have a mom. She was really missing basically that normalcy that she sees happening around her all the time. And so one day she just gets completely fed up and runs off to the bus station, and she meets a lady there who ends up that she used to be one of her school teachers. And she kind of says, you know what, I'm coming with you, whether you...
Did we lose you?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Did she call back?
I don't know. Rona, we lost our guest.
Hello?
Oh, I'm here.
There you are.
There she is.
I lost you.
Yeah, just for a moment.
Back to the story.
Back to the story. So where did I lose you at?
She's not coming with you regardless of, and then you went dead.
Oh, no. Okay. So she's going with Belinda, the teacher, the adopted mom, regardless of what Belinda thinks. And so they start their journey together via the bus. And that's kind of where we travel forward in the story.
Right. And you know, this book is such a lot of, actually it could be virtually pegged as a book of parallels. Mm-hmm. Everything seems to run in parallel with the storyline, the adult and the child. And it's kind of cool the way you did it. It's very, very, very cool the way you allowed Belinda to accept this child regardless and to wholly accept this child. Yet, be working with the grandparents the entire time. So
we don't know that.
Well, we kind of, you drop a couple Easter eggs.
She does.
We kind of know that she's been working.
She does, but
we don't really know for sure.
Yes, and that was important, just because I didn't want people to think, well, what's wrong with this lady? You don't just have a kid come with you.
Right.
Well, and she's a really fun woman. Because they do like girly things together, you know, they get nail polish and, you know, she's not really a friend. It's not like she's quite like an older sister, but she doesn't really need to discipline her very much, but she is playing an adult role. And yet she's just so much fun, you know, that you can see why Sandy would want to stay with her.
Right.
You know? She is that very motherly figure, as I think a lot of us see. I know I did in my teachers growing up. Teachers were, you know, really someone that I looked up to, and I always felt I could go to them if there was ever an issue, and they always had that very motherly vibe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And imagination, and you know, rich in imagination, and just fun, you know. She makes her, they go along their way. You have them going to that old house where maybe it's haunted, but you know, she has a highlighter and they highlight the maps, and they, you know, it's like she's a teacher. I mean, she's more of a teacher than she is a mom.
Right.
You know, sometimes our moms aren't really the person we don't necessarily want to be with. But she's the mom that Sandy's been pining for.
Right. And I think that was the key. I think the key is that although Sandy knows that's her first grade teacher, and as it turns out, Mrs. Williams knows that Sandy was her first grade student. But she allows the facade to go on, uh-huh, and allows Sandy to get into that world of mother-daughter relationships, of which she had none. And yeah, and that was just a magical part for me, is allowing her and then keeping it up when she becomes an adult.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was why I wanted to do kind of the back and forth story, was to show, you know, kind of what happened. There was so much going on. What happened in the future with her, I think, was something that as a reader, I would have wanted to know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And it was an amazing, it was an adult story. It was written for adults and not one swear word in it. Congratulations.
I have talent.
Apparently. However, expletives live favorably in my world, but maybe not in yours.
Well, it takes talent to not swear. I think it takes a lot more restraint to not swear. But I was a nanny for 8 years, so I had to really be careful that I didn't swear.
Yeah. Well, I think it also has to do with the type of book and the dialogue and the type of people that are doing the dialogue, mm-hmm, as to whether they swear or they don't swear. You know, back in the old West where my genre is, they lived on swear words, you know, and women were just as bad as men, and sometimes worse. It just depends on what they did for a living. But I congratulate you. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And I really, really, really hope you bring up another one like it, because I got so intrigued. I went to this book in one day.
Yeah, it was. Wow. It was.
One day.
It was a little longer for me, but not much.
Well, good news then, because I do have a book that I'm going to do in the same fashion of the back and forth. So it'll.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, we always have a spot for you in the writer's block.
Thank you.
Oh, of course.
Savannah, can I ask a question, Jim, or do you want to go to our first break?
No, please. No, we'll go ahead. You got time for
okay. This is sort of also hitting a little bit on process, which, of course, you know, we love to talk about on this show. But we're talking about this sort of back and forth. And I wondered, as the writer, did you write it back and forth, or did you write all of the chapters that were from one time period, like, together, and then write
good question.
The others? Or can you tell us a little bit about how you framed the story?
So the younger Sandy, I wrote that all in the same kind of chunk. And then I went and wrote the older Sandy in a chunk, because I wanted to make sure that the voice remained the same. And I, going back and forth, I don't think I would have been able to achieve it that way. So I focused on young Sandy, and then I focused on old Sandy. And even in the edits that I was doing, putting it together, I only read the adult section, and then only read, and it wasn't until probably right before I handed it to my editor that I actually read them both back to back, because at that point I wasn't worried that I was going to throw off the voice.
Interesting. And like Jim said, some of the parallels, and it's not that they're spoiler alerts, but we don't really want to give everything away, but there are some things, the photo album is very important. You know, there's some things that go back to one time period, and then they're sort of in the new time. You know, it was so interesting how you brought some things out in sort of parallel ways. Did you already know you were going to do that, or did that come, was that inspiration that came to you as you were putting it together?
Some of it I knew, and some of it literally was just the awesomeness of my creativity that I can't explain or teach or anything. And it would just, it flowed exactly how it needed to flow.
Uh-huh. Oh, I would totally agree. There was a way that you'd written the older Sandy that really, really, really gave me a vision of a young woman who has conquered most of her demons from her childhood, with one or two exceptions. Mm-hmm. And she kind of is living her life with, in the back of her mind, she's got her panties in a big wad. She just is not going to give in to anything. She doesn't want to give up and give in to anything, because it's going to take away from her.
Right.
And I think that's a really great thing to look at, because eventually she starts worrying about whether she's going to have a postpartum depression, or whether she's going to, you know, be like her mother.
Somebody,
or she's
going to
do this. Yeah, and I really like the way you brought that out, and you slowly brought her out of that shell, and you slowly unraveled her, mm-hmm. chapter by chapter. And mm-hmm. it was just, by the time you got to the end, you really liked this young lady. I didn't particularly like her at the beginning of the book, but I did. I really did like her at the end of the book, because she had opened up her heart and opened up her mind to things that were possible that she never dreamed could be possible.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and you had her learn some interesting things along the way. You know, like we know very early on that she loves bad weather and tornadoes and all that kind of stuff. And then we learn so did her mom, you know. And then as you introduce her dad, we see, oh, he has my nose. And she starts to kind of begin to see everything that sort of from her past and things where she has in common with her parents.
Right. Right.
And I thought it was just charmingly, so heartfelt, the way that you did that, and the way that we as a reader are discovering it right along with her.
Right.
Was right. really cool.
Thank you. Hold that thought. I definitely appreciate that.
Excellent. Hang on, ladies. Hold that thought. We're going to take a real quick break. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is The Writer's Block. And we'll be back with you just after this real brief message from LA Talk Radio. Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you've ever thought that you could be a radio host, well, now is certainly your opportunity. Go to www.latalkradio.com. Find the link that says be a host and follow the instructions. You know, everybody's got something to say. And if you've got a show that you think needs to be heard, how about you link up with us? Because we've got 50-minute shows available every day of the week, plus Sundays. So how about giving us a try? That's latalkradio.com. And listen every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, for The Writer's Block, right here on LA Talk Radio. And we are back. We are in the studio with, of course, Bobby Jean Bell is with me. And our guest for this evening, Savannah Hendricks. And we're talking about her book. I would say I rented my mom. No, I adopted my mom at a bus station. And if you want to call and talk to Savannah, which incidentally is a great name, you can call here in the studio and we can patch you right into us. The number is 323-203-0815. And again, that number, get your pencil, 323-203-0815. And you can talk directly to Savannah, which incidentally, again, is a really nice name. Okay, back to the I just think you hit a home run here, Savannah. I really do.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate it.
And Bobby Jean as well. We appreciate really good reads, and for the last 6 years we have read some really good books. And it seems like the last couple of months all we've done is gush about the books we've read.
Yeah, we've gushed a lot. So good.
And we've read some stinkers, I will say.
Not many.
I won't name any names, but we have read some stinkers. We've read some really terrific books, not to the degree of fun that yours was. Your book
good.
actually it combines real, honest to God, familiar humor in with real mm-hmm. life situations, mm-hmm. and the dialogue is like true to life. I mean, I find myself saying it.
Yeah. Well, good. How do you know I wasn't listening to you? I was listening to you when I was writing it.
Just want me to slow down.
When Jim and I were talking earlier today, I said your use of the simile is fabulous, but not exhausting. I mean, I have read some books where I kind of want to go like, all right, enough already, you know. But it's a way to let us into what Sandy's feeling, because she has a lot of emotions, but she equates them to, you know, clouds, or I should have written some of them down because they're wonderful. And she goes through lots of rocky feelings, and she gets anxiety attacks and, you know, different kinds of things. But she, you're able to allow her to phrase them in such a way that we, even if we've never felt that, we feel it because she uses a really good simile. And I thought some of them were just fabulous.
Well, good. That means I've done my job, which sometimes, I mean, you don't really know what someone's been through in life. And so you obviously don't, I never want to kind of undermine someone's feelings about, you know, if they're having anxiety or stress or anything like that. So I tried to just make it as relatable as possible for the people that, yes, have that. And then the ones that don't also can kind of maybe understand what a loved one is going through, you know, if they have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you can be extremely proud of this work. This work is, I mean, not only can adults read it, but you young adults can read this book as well and pretty much get the same message, maybe even a better message than we could get. You know, the learning of the things are not always going to work out the way you want them to work out. Do the best that you can with what you've got. And search for what you don't have and earn right. What you don't have, I guess, is the bottom line. Her acceptance of finally acceptance of her father and mm-hmm. Okay. No more spoiler alerts. Okay.
Well, I did wonder if there could be a sequel, because there is a baby that is at the bus station. Is, you know, could there be a sequel, which is, you know, I adopted my daughter at the bus station.
Right. I adopted my daughter at the bus station. What a great sequel.
Because you kind of want to know, you do give us some closure. And yet I think that it'll be very interesting to kind of continue to meet these characters as right. they go through life. And so I wondered if somewhere down the line, might you pick them right. up again?
But then in the very last chapter, you put the mixer back in it.
Yeah.
And you find out that, well, her best friend didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, you surmise, I mean, you never really come out and say, but you surmise that Molly had the same issues that her mother had. And right. it wound up with the same problems mm-hmm. and the same
another issues
and the same, mm-hmm. and the same ending.
Yeah. As far as a sequel, I don't know. I have folders full of ideas constantly. I often joke I have too many ideas. I don't know how I'm going to have time to write them all. But I also, I mean, I've said that about other things, and I've, you know, worked on sequels for other things. So never say never.
Right. Well, I think as a writer, we all have ideas. I mean, my ideas constantly flow through my head. And after last year, I had such a hard time last summer that it took me a long time to get back onto the keyboard, which I started writing again last week. I'm really excited about that. And the book is coming along, and it's a great story, and it takes in some of the stuff that happened in previous books. And so I like doing that because characters are they're infinite. Is it infinitum? I don't know Latin, so I
infinitum.
Infinitum. There you go.
Is that it? Infinitum.
Anyway, characters are there always, and if they show up in another book, that's okay. So yeah. You know, but so anyway, I'm glad that you are not giving up on the sequel or the not even a sequel. I think it would be part two of the story.
Yeah, a continuation.
Yeah, a continuum. There you go. I got that.
It has to have an equally long name, though, just because, you know, I remember the cover designer was like, are you sure you don't want to change that? Because that's really long. I said, unless you've read the story, the title has to stay the same.
It has to be that.
Change it.
Yeah.
Well, but there you go, Bobby. And I told you what the new title should be. I adopted my daughter from the bus station.
I'll put credit. I'll give you guys credit.
18 years after I adopted my mother from the bus station.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
very fun. Well, and you've also written a wonderful dog character. We both really like Chester. Tell us a little bit about Chester.
I love Chester.
Chester has got some issues.
Well, they all
but
kind
he's a good dog. He's but I love writing dogs, and whether they're based on, you know, the dogs I've had or not, I love writing about dogs and the way they can sense things, and really love to pull them into the stories.
I don't write dogs. I love writing horses. I love writing about horses, and horses all have different personalities. And so, you know, one horse isn't going to react the same as any other horse, just like dogs. Dogs react all differently.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Chester is a wonderful addition to this cast.
Chester actually reminded me a lot of Bella.
He's a wonderful character. And, you know, at first I thought, well, she kind of has a germ phobia and she's got a dog. Like, does that really go together?
I know. I found that a little rough, too. But you know, well, yeah, a lot of people with OCD and germ phobias have animals.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I think, too, I think as far as my thoughts on that, obviously they're not probably factual, but I think our own germs in our house are not nearly as scary as the ones that are outside
right.
the house.
Right,
and right. So, you know, the dog, okay, well, is the dog's just, you know, interacting with me and nobody else?
Yeah.
So I think that's how I personally was able to get away with her having that germ phobia of, you know, the outside stuff. And then we kind of see that too with her, where she's like, okay, well, some people like Belinda's okay, you know, her germs don't really count.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
other people's do.
You know, I found a great scene in your book when they were making the pies.
Oh, so great.
Oh my God, how funny. And this is what I'm talking about, natural familial humor, is that she is trying to peel a peach.
The peach.
And I have tried to peel peaches, and it is almost impossible to hold them puppies once you get the skin off. They
yeah.
just squirt and flip all over the place. And
yeah.
I just thought, good for you. Good for you, Savannah. You hit it right in the head.
Well, and I think that us all now having been through this COVID period, where if we weren't germ really aware, we've become so aware that things, you know, using her sleeve to open a door, some of the things, it's really not overly done in the book enough that we sort of know, but it's all like, that's all normal stuff now,
right.
You know,
yeah.
She uses the hand, when she uses the hand sanitizer and she, you know, shares it with her dad or whatever, it's like, hey, we're all there now.
Washing her hands 2 and 3 times. Yeah,
yep.
Totally.
Yep. Especially with the raw chicken.
Oh my gosh. Well, raw meat, period.
Well,
yes.
all the food in this book, from the smells in Jewel's trailer of the upside down pineapple cake, to the chocolate, the candy store, to the cereal squares in the morning. I mean, this book is full of, they're almost like a character. Food is like a character, as is the humidity and the environment that you write about so wonderfully.
Yeah.
We can touch and taste and feel this book.
Yeah. Having been spent 10 months in Alabama, or actually almost a year in flight school, in Alabama is to the point where it's almost, it's just oppressive.
Yeah, then you get
it's,
that.
And as an adult, it's even worse than when you're young. When you're young, you can handle the heat. But when you're an adult, holy crap. It's just like, it's just, oh yeah. And it just wipes you out. It just takes everything out of you and puddles it into your boots.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, I do not like the South for that very reason. And my daughter actually lives there. Poor
kid. No.
In Atlanta. Oh, oy.
You only visit during the winter time. Is that how it goes?
Well, that's what she said. She goes, well, come out and visit me in the winter, Dad. Actually, Bobby Jean met her. Remember when she came to the studio?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a real quick one, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes. So, ladies, don't go anywhere. Bobby, get your questions ready, because we are now going to go into process. So, Savannah, gird your loins, and, of course, You are listening to LA Talk Radio, The Writer's Block, and we will be back right after this short message from Out West.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
And we are back. It is now 6:30 on the nose. We, of course, are on the line with Miss Savannah Hendricks. And Bobby Jean Bell, of course, is here looking at me with her little flowery background. Looks like a poppy field back there.
California poppies. Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's probably a good thing. It's great for the opium market. Go for it. Anyway. So, Savannah, I have to ask you, when did you start writing? I mean, virtually, seriously, sit down and start writing.
About 2006, about 2006.
2006, okay.
Yeah.
That's a while back. That's, what, 15 years?
Yeah, that was when I first started. I started writing children's and middle grade was kind of my focus when I started. And in the last 5 or 6 years, I kind of switched over to the adult market. I still do, you know, I still do some children's stuff, but my focus has really been the adult market.
Well, actually, the last novel we talked to you about, and then this one, both were written for the adult market, but they really could have been read for an older young adult group with probably no hassles. I mean, there was nothing in there that they couldn't have understood.
Right.
So, I mean, your genres are mixed, and I really like that because you open your field up to so many people who could enjoy your stories. Mm-hmm. So, here,
Thank
let me...
You.
Yeah, and they hit on some topics that, this book hits on some topics that are very timely that don't necessarily show up in books, really.
Right.
And that was
postpartum
depression
and some other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of topics out there you haven't touched on yet.
Yeah. I read your novella.
Calm down.
I read your novella after we had you on the last time. I read, and now I don't have the title in front of me, To Work Out or Wed? To Wed
yes.
or Work Out? I'm sorry.
Yes,
I don't
To Work Out or
that.
To Wed.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you laugh?
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know. I sat down and read it in like a day or something. And since we weren't going to talk to you, I didn't like take notes or anything at the time, but I just remember being very entertained and thought it was
good.
such an interesting storyline and topic that you were, you know, that you were bringing up. So yeah, we thoroughly enjoy what you write.
Well, thank
you. How do you keep your imagination fertile and agile and, you know, productive?
Wine, a lot of wine. I sleep at least 9 hours a night. I honestly have to say it's probably Ransom, my dog, because I am up literally every 15 minutes playing fetch with him, and all of that movement and fresh air has got to be the reason why I'm able to come up with so many ideas.
That's a great answer.
How often or how long every day do you write? Now, let's back up a little bit. I know you have another job. You're a social worker or a psychiatric social worker of sorts.
Medical social worker, yes.
Right. That's got to take a lot of your time.
40 hours.
There you go. And then you spend how much time during a day do you spend sitting down at a keyboard or a tablet with a pen or however you write? How long do you spend writing?
So, and I'm going to get in trouble by the writing community because this is a no-no. I do not write every day because I work 4/10s. And so at the end of my day, it takes an all the strength I have just to pour the wine. So there's no way I'm going to be writing.
God bless you. God bless you, sister.
So I usually spend about 7 to 8 hours Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, depending on what's going on in life, sitting down and writing. I have that full time, and I just focus and write as much as humanly possible, just kind of straight through. So that's my weekends are just writing and writing and writing.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're able to get 9 hours. Boy, I sure wish I could get 9 hours of sleep.
Oh, shoot. We're back to the sleep now?
Well, I know the more sleep, I mean, that's now proven. And we've always known at least 8 hours, beauty sleep, whatever you want to call it. We've always known that, but now there's more and more and more scientific
evidence.
Now they
say that if you don't get 8 hours, feel free to take a nap and catch up with those hours you lost.
Well, since our whole lifestyle changed here with the move to Albuquerque, I am actually taking some naps. I just look at Jim and say, you know what? The other day I took a nap and I actually slept like till the next day.
Well, that's not a nap. That's just passing out.
Well, it meant to be a nap.
That happens after a full bottle of Irish cream.
Yeah, but that is interesting. And that does actually help your creative juices, I would imagine.
So, it does, and I get grumpy if I don't get enough sleep. So it's good for everybody.
Yeah, it really is. So for the new writers that are out there listening to the show, and I remind all of our listeners that we are going out live right now. We're going out worldwide. So we have listeners in Switzerland and Germany and England and everywhere. And they actually come in and listen to the show every week, which is amazing. I love that. But the new writers specifically, which is what this show is geared towards, how many do you have a set bunch of words that you like to get done per week, even though you can only write for weekends? Or do you just pants it and just say, okay, what I get done, I get done. What I don't get done, I'll finish next weekend.
I do set my own goals and deadlines depending on what project I'm working on. Uh-huh. So I will say, it's super important that I write, 5,000 words, today or this weekend, depending on how it's going. But I don't really hold myself to it just because when it comes to creativity, when I start to force myself to say, okay, you have to do this, then it kind of squashes what I'm trying to do as opposed to just saying, okay, well, write what you can. If it flows, great. If it doesn't, don't force it. But then I'm also the same type of person that says, just write down what you need to write down because you can edit it later. Stop right. worrying Absolutely. About everything. You're never going to get anything written.
Absolutely. Yeah, we go by that premise here on the show. Write what you can write. write your best story. That's what I learned in creative writing. Write your story. Mm-hmm. It can always be rewritten. It can always do anything to it, but just write it first.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
You can't edit a blank page.
Exactly.
Savannah, do you write with a particular reader in mind, or do you write because your muse is saying, write this, you got to write this, or do you understand that question? I might not have done it.
Your genres cross lines. Does your genre cross lines?
Uh huh.
That's awesome. Question.
What I do when I sit down with an idea or a story is I say, I'm going to write this. And at the end, if it's for adults, great. If it's for adults, if it's for, fiction or romance, even though I have a plan, I have an outline. If the story does whatever it wants to do, I never, ever sit down with a story and say, this is going to be a romance. It's going to be specifically for age 40 to 50. I do not plan that at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I have to have one comment about your character, Justin. That had to have been the most patient man in the entire world. Oh my God. Sandy had him coming and going. She had that poor boy on the edge for years.
Yeah.
He just took it.
There are some men like that out there, Jim.
There definitely are.
Yeah, but once we learn along with all the other revelations that she has in her life, what caused that?
Yeah.
Not giving away a spoiler alert, because that's one of the bigger ones in the book.
It is, definitely.
Then we understand why she was so standoffish with him.
Yeah.
I mean, she had the hots for him, but she just couldn't do it.
Well, to me, there was still some unanswered pieces to that, but it's okay.
Life, period.
Yeah, because we, she gives us some closure for them. But he was, and again, the character we really needed in the story. We needed a Justin, just like we needed a Chester. It's like we needed them in that story. Yeah.
Right. And I have to say that Justin, once at the towards the end of the book, once they finally grabbed her and just said to hell with it, went for it. The very next chapter, they have a baby coming. I'm going, oh, that was good. Somebody had sex.
It's very Hallmark style. We don't know. It just happens.
Yeah. And germs were not a problem.
But I really like that. And this is not giving away anything, because everybody picks up books and reads the last two pages first. I don't you agree? I think they do.
I don't, but we've had authors tell us that's what they do when they read.
Yeah. That she goes back to the graveyard, and I'm not going to give away the whole graveyard story. It's just, she's now talking to several people in the graveyard, not just her mother and not just her grandparents, but one other person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is her life. It's been this way her whole life. And she's not going to give that up. She just wants to keep them informed of what's going on with her.
Mm-hmm. They're part of.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you enjoyed it so much, and that you both understood the story.
Oh yeah, totally. This is a book that you have to read to really get down what's in the story. You really have to go through it. And there are some passages I read two and three times because there's some syntax in there that was correct, but my brain wasn't seeing it correctly. And so I had to go back and reread it word by word by word. And okay, I got it now. So but it's mostly in dialogue.
Work for it.
Well, I did. And bless you again. You did a wonderful job. You gave us a wonderful story.
Well, thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Did you know a lot of the things that we've been talking about? Did you know those things were going to happen, or those characters were going to react that way? I'll give you the scene with Sandy at the trailer with Tony and Jules and Robert. Did you know what was going to, how that scene was going to play out? So it just wrote itself, or did you, how did that scene come about?
I did, creative wise, I did know what was going to happen, but I wasn't sure how it was going to work. And I actually ended up writing it, and I was like, this is not really, there's something missing. Like, this needs to be slightly different. So I went and in the edit process on, several rounds through, I was able to mold it to exactly what I wanted, but it took me stepping back from it and moving on to the next chapter saying, wait a second, I need to make this more powerful than I've originally written it.
Well, yeah. One of the very telling moments in this book, and I think it probably was one of the most telling moments in the book, when things have hit the crescendo and they're going to start dropping off the other side, is it Jewel and Tony's trailer.
Mm-hmm.
When she is going through the photo album,
mm-hmm.
and her father tells her the story of her mother, and she gets really pissed off and stomps out. And Chester, not knowing what to do at that point, gets up and goes over and sits by Robert, sits at his side. I thought, wow, that is cool. The dog knows.
The dog always knows.
The dog knows. And that, I mean, that right there, I knew what was going to happen in the rest of the book then. But then Bobby and I are more astute than most readers. I mean, we've read so many books. We get this stuff. But I knew right then that Robert was going to make it. that Sandy was going to make it, because nobody gets that pissed off and walks out unless they know it's the truth they're mad at.
Exactly.
And see, I got that. You didn't think I got that, huh, Savannah? You
didn't think no.
Hey, Jim, are you going to ask her the question? I'm looking at what time it is.
Savannah, I'm going to give you 1 minute to answer this question. This is the writer's block. Have you ever had writer's block? And I know you answered this question before, but give us another answer, a different one than you did before. And if you have, how did you get out of it?
Okay, yes, I have. And gardening works, as does about 52 rounds of fetch with Ransom, my dog. But yeah, I do get it, not as often as, I don't know, maybe some people get, but yes, I do get it. But I find that changing what I'm doing, getting up, going for a walk or doing something outside always fixes it. And if that doesn't work, turn on a movie, pour some wine, and that will work.
Oh my God. You're my woman. You're just after my own heart. You're just totally or after my own heart. Hey, we're going to be back with you in just a moment. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is the LA Talk Radio's very own writer's block. We'll be back with you right after this brief word from Creative Edge.
Hi, Jim Christina here for Creative Edge Publicity. And you know there's a reason that authors flock to Creative Edge. Yes, it's true, and no one would believe it, but it is true. Creative Edge, the grassroots publicity firm that has stayed community-minded, is growing. And not only growing, but busting right out of their seams. With a client base of over 70 authors, 2 New York Times bestsellers, 6 USA Today bestsellers, and multiple international bestsellers and award winners, Creative Edge in 4 years has become one of the mainstays in the publicity book market, offering reader-focused opportunities in all levels of media, including podcasts, radio, TV, print, and much more. When it comes to publicity, Mickey Mickelson and Creative Edge are experts in the book industry. Look him up at www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future.
And we are back, and in the few minutes we have left, Savannah, may I please offer you right now a return visit to the writer's block?
Yes, and I will be there. I have another book coming out at the end of June. So yes.
Okay. You know, we try to make our authors feel comfortable and relaxed. We don't try to ask questions that we know you can't answer in a brief answer or a longer answer, but that doesn't create a problem for you to answer. And we just have fun with you, and I hope you had fun with us.
I definitely did. I look forward to coming back. It'll be revisiting a book that you read the first time, because that is has a sequel, and it's coming out in June.
Okay. So now we've gone into what, February?
No, we will be grounded in July.
Okay.
Oh, I saw a mention of that. Oh, cool. Grounded in July. Yeah, sounds good.
Very cool. Okay, Savannah, if you wouldn't mind telling our listeners where they can find you, your website, your Twitter, whatever you got going, and email.
Yes. So you can find me. My website is savannahhendricks.com. You can find me there. Instagram is savannahhendricks underscore author. Twitter is at author savannah. That one's pretty easy. So all those places are great for looking me up. And then if you want access to a bunch of free short stories, you can find those on my blog, which is the seashells of life .wordpress.com.
Okay. And you know, we know that it's a hassle sometimes, you know, getting a Thursday night set up to join us, but we really appreciate you taking the time, and you've been just a wonderful, wonderful sport and guest, and we appreciate you, and we hope that you come back and join us again soon. Thank you so much. And we've enjoyed having you. And from Bobby Jean and myself, good night. And we appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. Have a blessed
Absolutely.
Night.
You
Good
too.
Night.
Good night.
Good
night. Good night. Good night.
And next week on LA Talk Radio's very own Writer's Block, we have another returning guest, Peggy Chambers, who is the Sand Hill Mysteries writer.
Yeah.
She's got a couple new books out that are less than 100 pages each. And they're one of them is like, I think they're going to be kind of like almost metaphysical. So that should be fun to read those and get down and dirty with Peggy coming up next week. And the weeks to follow, we have some wonderful guests going to be on our show. And we hope that you just keep your radio tuned every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific for the Writer's Block on LA Talk Radio. And Bobby, you have anything to say before we leave?
You know, one of the lines that I wrote down from this book that spoke to me, books have always caused my mind to forget about things. That's why I love them.
Yep. Me too. And just know that this show goes out live and that Bobby Jean and I read every single book that we get for the guests that come on the show. So you never have to worry about us talking about something we know nothing about.
Yeah.
That being said, for Bobby Jean Bell, myself, Jim Bell, and of course, Ronan Rosner, the bookie, and Sam Hassan, and of course, our good friend whose birthday is today, Mr. Russ Avison, we are out of here.